All right, tomorrow we will not have an Orchos Tzadikim Shir because I'm going to be traveling. And obviously Thursday we won't. And Sunday will be the next one, Bez Hashem. Sunday we'll have another Orchos Tzadikim Shir. Okay, so we left off last time, again, still in Shar Hakina. So we're up to L'chol Sina Yesh Tikva. So you have it inside, L'chol Sina Yesh Tikva. For every hatred, I thought this was a fascinating insight. He says, "L'chol sinah yesh tikva." For every hatred, that there is hope. What does it mean? There is hope. There's hope that the hatred will end. There's hope that you'll be able to reconcile. There's hope that peace can be made. Why? Shem yisnech chaver avorsha gzalo. If someone can't stand somebody else because he stole from him, so tasra asinu because sheyashv lo so davar. The hatred will go away when he returns the item that he stole and when he apologizes. So then there's not going to be sinna anymore. Sometimes, you know, there's sinna in a relationship because a person feels that they're just never being heard, they're never being listened to. So the sinna will go away as soon as the other person starts to hear them and starts to listen to them and starts to, whatever it is, whatever the cause of the sinna is, whatever the cause of the hatred is, you can undo it, you can walk it back, and then as soon as it goes away, maybe not as soon, sometimes it takes time for wounds to heal, but soon after, or sometime after the cause of the sinna goes away, the sinna will go away. That's true by every sinna that's dependent on something. You fix that thing that's causing the sinna, and then the sinna will go away. But here's the key. Except for hatred that's caused as a result of jealousy. When sinna is caused as a result of jealousy, so what? I hate that person because I'm jealous of their nice clothing. So now I'm going to get nice clothing, or they're going to start wearing tattered clothing. So then what? I'll hate them because of something else. Meaning, I think what he's saying is that jealousy is never about the thing that you're jealous of. It's about an attitude that a person has. It's about a perspective that a person has of looking at other people and feeling entitled to everything that other people have. The world is vast. There are many, many other people, and there are so many different things and qualities and items that thousands of different people have, thousands of different qualities that you don't have, or advantages that you don't have, that it's impossible for you to ever achieve all of them, for you to ever be fully equal with everybody else. You know, there's an old Yiddish expression, I don't speak Yiddish, so I don't know how it goes, but it's something along the lines of that if everyone were to put their pekla of tzaros into the middle of the circle and have a choice which one to take back, everyone would take back their own. You know, you don't realize that. You think, oh, that person is so advantaged, that person has so much more, and then you don't realize their struggles are something that you wouldn't be able to handle. But you just don't see their struggles all the time. You're able to handle your struggles. And it always struck me, like, why is that Yiddish expression true? Meaning, why is it that, is it, you know, on a balance, isn't it possible that someone has fewer struggles than I do? You know, if a person is struggling with parnasa and health, and they're successful in learning or something, and someone else struggles in learning, but he has all the parnasa and health. I don't know. Well, why wouldn't I take that person's tzaros? I think the idea is that what we've been talking about, that if a person is a bal bitachon, and a person realizes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you what's meant for you, and your struggles are something that you are meant to struggle with, and that's what you are meant to become great with. That's what you are meant to battle, and therefore become better through. And if you were given someone else's struggles, it's not matim to you. It's not something that you would be able to develop through those struggles. So everyone would take back their own sorrows. Everyone, but people only look at the good that other people have. They only look at the positive. They don't look at, so you'll always find something else that somebody else has. Meaning, again, this is not about the thing. It's not about any particular issue or any particular item. If it were, the sinna could go away. It's about a hashkafa. It's about a way of looking at people, a way of looking at the world. And when you stop looking at people in that way, that's the only way for the sinna to go away, or for the kinna to go away. Amra Chacham Rabno, the Chacham says to his son, Al tekani ba achicha al asher yeshlo. Don't be jealous of your brother of what he has. ki hu yin am bechaya va'atatis badag avitzar. That he's living pleasantly and you're full of worry and anguish. The one who's jealous and the one who's, who covets that which other people have, he's just always going to be angry. It's not, he's punishing himself. His whole life is going to be full of worry, full of anguish, full of pain about what he doesn't have, instead of someone who's able to just take it easy and enjoy that which he does have. The Chacham Rishon, according to Yerushalmi and Brachos, used to daven, Shalote kinasenu al acherim, velo kinas acherim aleinu. So now he's hitting on a new point. That not only did they daven that they shouldn't be jealous of other people, they daven that other people should not be jealous of them. Well, I understand based on everything we said, that they would daven that they shouldn't be jealous of other people. Because a person who walks around with jealousy is never going to be happy, he has only worry, he's going to start hating other people, all his relationships will be ruined. I get all that. Why did they daven? Lama hayu mispalim al acherim bezos amida yosu midas acheros? You know, with this particular thing, that they daven with dafka when it comes to kina, that other people should not be jealous of them. Meaning, when it comes to every other midah, bein adam l'chavera, we daven for ourselves, that we should be able to excel in that midah. I can't control whether everyone is going to excel in Avas Yisrael. So I could daven that my Avas Yisrael should become greater and should bring about, you know, should be the right, an important step in creating a sense of proper bein adam l'chavera, a sense of you know, rebuilding a brick in the base of Migdash, so to speak. I could daven that that I should have the kochos and nefesh to give up my money for tzedakah, to do good things, to be mevaker cholim when it's called for, to be menachem avelim when it's called. I could daven for myself. I don't daven that other people should do those things for me. So why would I daven dafka when it comes to kinah, dafka when it comes to that midah, you know, that that other people should not be jealous of me? But this is what it is. Ki harbe b'nei adam gormim she'iskana behem. A lot of people bring it upon themselves. They bring jealousy upon themselves. K'shem lo v'shem begadim na'im. They wear nice clothing. Ve'ena mahanim achirim yishalehem. And as they're living it up, they don't share the wealth. They don't allow other people. They're very stingy about their stuff. That they don't let anyone. They're very territorial about everything that's theirs, and they won't let anyone take anything of theirs or use anything of theirs. So that's what brings about the kinna. That's what brings about the jealousy. No one's jealous of a guy who's just absolutely giving and is willing to share no matter how much money he has. They're not jealous. You know, I have a good friend who recently built a house that is twice the size of any other house in the neighborhood. It's like, you know, like you drive around the neighborhood, you're like, okay, whoa. Who lives there? What you know, and no, I haven't heard a single since he started building this house. People talk, Jews talk. I haven't heard a single negative word said about the guy. Not a single negative word. And normally you would think, oh, he's drawing all this attention to himself. He's building this massive house. Well, why is there not a single negative word said about the guy? Well, it happens to be that he gives to everybody constantly. All he wants to do is give. All he's ever doing is giving. He's helping out cholim. He's using his connections to get people jobs. He's constantly giving. He owns other houses and he gives this one to the shul, gives that one to the. He's constantly giving. Just that's all he ever does is he gives. And no one's jealous. No one's jealous. He gave me a tour through his new house. And I said, oh, this is a beautiful. I went down to the basement. He has a big basement. And he has two bedrooms there and a bathroom. I said, that's a beautiful guest accommodation. Next time we have a scholar in residence, I'm going to make sure he sleeps here. He says, oh, no, I got that's a guest accommodation. My guy, show you something else. And he takes me to the ground floor. And there's another bedroom in the bathroom there. He said, sometimes we're going to have guests who stairs are going to be difficult for them. So I had to make sure there was a bedroom and a bathroom on the ground floor. Meaning building a house, and that's what he's thinking. How am I going to be able to accommodate whoever, you know, who, because Achmas, he said, this house, this built for Achmas Sarachan. So I learned from my parents, he told me. That it's built so that whoever comes here can be absolutely comfortable. When that's a person's hashkafa, then no one's going to be jealous, no matter how much success you may be you may have not, you know. So the if someone is living it up and he's not allowing anyone else to be mahana mishalahem, so then yeah, then they're going to be jealous, then they're going to be chomet, they're going to be covetous of what he has. So they would daven that other people in the Yerushalmi, that other people should not be jealous of them. You can't control everything, but sometimes you're the problem. Sometimes if other people are jealous of you, you know, a lot of times, like in school, you know, a kid will have a problem that he's getting picked on, you know, that he's getting bullied, this or that. So you never want to blame the victim. But, you know, between me and you, sometimes he's just totally inappropriate with the other kids. He's saying things that are, like, you know, that are offensive, and he just lacks lack of social skills, or he's overly aggressive, or whatever it is. Sometimes they bring it upon themselves, and very often you see that happen. So he's davening, I shouldn't bring. It's not always my fault. It's not always a person's fault. They don't always bring it upon themselves. So that much I can't control. But what I can control is at least let me not bring it upon myself. Vatorah amra, and after all, it's a mitzvah in the Torah. Lifnei iver lo sitein michshol. You're not allowed to commit lifnei iver. So if I'm causing other people to violate one of the aseres hadibros, to violate lo sachmud, then I'm in violation of lifnei iver of lo sachmud. L'chein mida tova ba'adam. So a proper mida for a person to have. Shelo yilbash begadim na'adim mushubachim yosem yidai. Don't flaunt all your wealth. Don't wear the most fancy clothing. Lo huv lo ishtov lo vanav. And your whole family doesn't have to dress that way either. You know, you ever meet someone that, you know, you just think is like a regular guy. You hope that they're making ends meet. And then, like, you find out that they're like mega, mega, like hugely wealthy people. Like, I've met people like that, you know, live in a simple house or whatever, and you just talk to them, they wear regular clothing, they never, and then you find out, like, oh my gosh, they own like half of Manhattan, which used to mean something before COVID, right? Like they you know, something like that. Like, wow, you know, that's something that a person shouldn't be flaunting everything that they have. And it's not only about wealth. That's the easiest example to give. So we give that example. It's the easiest example to give. Sometimes it's about anything else, any other form of, you know, what does social media do? You know, the problem that that the psychologists find that causes depression when people are on social media too much is because when you're looking at everyone else's Facebook page, so you see everyone else's successes, everyone else's happiness, you know, people, you know, who have families and know that in a family sometimes people argue and people fight, and, you know, to get everyone to smile for a picture, you have a bunch of little kids, and this one's pinching that one, and that one is upset that he, you know, whatever, you know, just stop it already, just smile, right? But then they snap that picture and everyone's smiling, and that's what goes on Facebook, and everyone else is looking, saying, oh my gosh, that family is so happy. And they don't see, like, the moments before that. You know, they see the picture at Disney with everyone smiling. They didn't see all the fights on the plane and the car and everything. You don't see that. When you only see other people's successes, so it's good. It causes a person to become jealous. It causes a person to feel inadequate. It causes a person to feel that they don't have any brachos. My mother-in-law once mentioned to us, we have cousins in Eretz Yisrael, so they send her pictures all the time. It's her nephew, so they send her pictures all the time of the kids and whatever. And she said, they are the happiest family I've ever seen. I said, how often do you see them? She said, not that often, but they're always sending me pictures and they're always smiling. Like, yeah, that's how pictures work. Smile and take a picture. But you, like, you get the impression, they're like, oh, they're always happy, because when you only see them in pictures. I mean, I'm sure they are happy and everything. I'm just saying, like, that's not exactly the greatest raya. So this person's Facebook, this is the most successful person, because, you know, their Facebook page says that they are so successful. I mean, you know, that's what you're seeing. It comes with food and with everything else. You shouldn't behave in a way that causes other people's jealousy. If God blessed a person with wealth, use it to give hana to other people. And he says, and I'm not even talking about the mitzvah of tzedakah. I'm just talking about not being possessive and territorial or whatever. Just being open, being giving. La ashirim v'la aniyim. not only just to the Taniyim, to Ashirim also. A person has something that other people. A guy owns a snowblower, right? Let's say when it used to snow. It hasn't snowed in like 4 years in New York. But when a guy owns a snowblower, so he could either be his, and everyone else will watch all the schleppers sitting there shoveling, and he'll enjoy that. Or I have it. Let me help you out. Right? I know a guy owns a snowblower, has his kids do the whole block. Right? No payment. Just do the whole block. Because why not? HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us this. So the neighbor's rich. The neighbor could afford it. He could pay. He's able-bodied. He could shovel. But it's not about tzedakah. It's not about tzedakah. It's just about being giving. It's just about being a person. If you have something, so share it. There are people in the five towns. My talmidim were telling me that my talmidim were in the Shidduch Parsha. There are people in the five towns who have these magnificent backyards, and they've given their backyards for dating during COVID. Like, where do you go during COVID, right? Where can you go where you can be socially distanced and there could be, a nice setting and you can have whatever. So they have these beautiful backyards, and like, you book them in advance. This is what's going on. This is what people are doing. That, that's a person that says, but they're not helping out aniyim. It's not that it's tzedakah. So you do chesed, that you have something, so share it. If you have something that you're able to share, so share it. And act gently with people and do chesed with them. And we've already spoken at length about this. How beneficial it is for a person to be beloved by other people. When a person is beloved by all people, no one will begrudge you. No one will be jealous of you. What people should be jealous of? Your wonderful midos, so that they should want to have those midos too, and develop those midos that they so admire. It shouldn't come from a bad place. It should come from a place of admiration, that people see, wow, that person is so kind. I would never have even thought to speak that way, to be so kind. I always give like the simple example when I was in yeshiva, when I was your age. So my friend Rabbi Andy Yudin did me a favor. I don't even remember what the favor was. So I said, thank you very much. So instead of saying you're welcome, which is what normal people say, he said, oh, it's my greatest pleasure. And he meant it. So that's a way to talk. I, all of a sudden, it made me feel like I did him a favor. Oh, I gave him his greatest pleasure. I did a good thing for him. It's something I never would have thought to. I know it sounds stupid that I never would have thought of that, but I never would have thought to talk that way. But just to pay attention to people who have incredible midos and to mimic those midos. That's the good kind of jealousy. And if someone is careful not to be jealous, so his body is not going to decompose, and the worms won't get all over it. The rotting of the bones comes from jealousy. If you have kina, then your bones start to rot. And if you don't have kina, it's Shabbos Kufin Beis. We're almost there. So a person should stay away from jealousy, from coveting. Don't covet that which other people have. And do not say, no, I'll pay for it. I want it so badly, I'll pay for whatever he's got. If he's not interested in selling it, even if you're willing to pay for it, you're not allowed to ask him for it, even if you're willing to say, pay the full kesef. Because sometimes the other person will be embarrassed to say no and to turn you down, but he doesn't really want to sell it. So it's as if you're forcing him. Especially if you're a person who's a respected person. If you ask something and you're a respected person, I can't say no to this guy. If you're putting in a position where you're asking for a favor, and the other person feels that they cannot say no, even though they don't want to do the favor. Sometimes people genuinely want to do favors for other people. So to give them that opportunity is okay. But if you're putting them in a position where they would like to say no, but they simply cannot say no, right? You're not allowed to ask the person for that. Mekach u'matana, whether it's something you want to buy or something that, you know, a gift. Unless you know that he's giving it to you willingly, that he's actually happy to give it to you. So if you know that the person is very happy to give it to you, then you're allowed to ask. But if you think the person is not happy to give it to you, then you shouldn't ask, even if you're willing to pay for it. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, on Sunday we'll pick up with Mashal Mashal. Any see him tonight?